All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA Podcast. My name is Keith. I'm here, as always, with my buddies, Chuck and John, for the season wrap-up, the last... Wait, no. Oh, we have to keep going.
No, there's so much more.
The Warriors stumbled at home with a minor assist to the league office.
Yeah.
So we are back, going to keep punching these out.
I've had multiple listeners ask me, does Keith hate doing the podcast now? Because he does not like the playoffs.
No,
apparently.
Keith is enormously in love with the regular season of basketball. He finds it to be the most exciting thing. When the playoffs come, he knows what's going to happen, and it makes him yawn.
But he doesn't. I've even picked.
Like, we all kind of know. We just like, don't really.
We kind of. I mean, it ended up being Cavs. It's been fun to watch, but again.
Well, there was finally a good game.
My interest wanes, and now I just want free agency draft, because no one's going to make a trade until the Warriors or Cavs lose.
Right.
Hey, so, if it makes you feel better, the Warriors are definitely going to trade Kevin Love the second they are eliminated.
Yeah, the Cavs.
I mean, the moment they are eliminated, they are trading
and
him.
And I can't wait.
It's going to be amazing.
Anyway, we're getting ahead on this steamy, horrifically muggy, blazingly hot Nashville Tuesday, not Flag Day. The hottest flag day on record Nashville, Tennessee. I'm making that up.
I don't even know. Is it really Flag Day?
It actually is Flag Day. Oh, okay. What is Flag Day? No idea.
It's like Boxing Day.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's where the soccer happens.
I don't know.
No, I thought that's when boxing happened. That doesn't make sense. Soccer Day would be soccer.
It's a Canadian thing.
Do they
call boxing soccer?
They call soccer boxing and football and soccer.
Okay, good.
They call it all three things.
And poutine?
Right. Yep. And loonies.
Speaking of poutine, well, not really, but did anyone have breakfast on this oppressively hot Tuesday?
Oh.
Flag Day.
Yeah, your boy did.
What'd you have, Chuck?
So, got back from Bonnaroo.
You survived Bonnaroo again?
Survived.
And it was, again.
Parts of Chuck survived.
Yeah.
He definitely left something back.
You look a little light. I'm assuming you maybe sweat off like 10 pounds?
Looked on my... Yeah, for those who don't know, if you have an iPhone, there's a health app that will track how many miles you want.
Okay.
Over 50 miles in the 4 days I was at
Bonnaroo. The NSA uses that for other reasons.
Yeah, of course they do.
How much of that trekking was done on Shakedown Street looking for sweet, sweet illegals?
Nah, man, that stuff comes to me. People just walk up to me and hand me... It's kind of cool.
No, for a fact, this isn't true.
No.
That was one of our roughest experiences.
You know what? That's how we know we're old. I think we're just old now. You go to
Bonnaroo.
We got
so frustrated that I bit the bullet and went and spent an entire night in general population.
Which, that is not John's world. No. We were in the artist camping area that had shade and air conditioning.
I was sleeping on an RV.
We were getting.
And I went out
and
spent the entire night, and I came back with the largest pocket full of. You've ever seen, and spent every dime I had, and then went, and then just raised my arms to all my friends and went, "Children, come to me."
This is all probably getting cut out, but I don't care. It was a blast. But yeah, what happens?
They're illegal
is,
there.
They
you
are
can do
it's
them there.
Effectively, what
Amsterdam.
Happens?
Amsterdam.
It is Amsterdam.
It is.
Yeah, and Eddie Vedder is Bunny Colvin. but yeah, so we have that blast over the weekend, and you know I don't get messed up the day after Bonnaroo. It's the day after, and that's what today is.
It didn't hit me until the day. You're right.
Usually the day after Bonnaroo, I'm still on drugs, and like my body kind of doesn't know what's happening. The day after, it's like PTSD for my muscles.
Right.
There's lactic acid pouring out of my eyeballs. It's just a mess, and today... What I had for breakfast.
Yeah.
This all up. It was a V8 and a Clif Bar.
There you go.
Because I need my soul.
You still need more hydration? V8's not going to give you other.
We were talking food. You want to talk hydration?
Well, I assume you did two coconut waters and a yellow Gatorade.
There is an empty Pedialyte in my front seat.
There you go.
On my son. That's what I had. I'm trying to cleanse up. It's a mess. Remember the last episode I did the yogurt?
Right.
And yeah, that's the same thing here.
Yeah.
I'm destroyed.
I haven't eaten since Bonnaroo, so.
Not recommended.
My body's in shock.
Right.
So I still have eaten nothing. I think I ate something at the Still the King premiere party. I don't remember what it was.
John,
no breakfast.
For those listeners out there wondering what John's talking about, he played an Elvis impersonator in the CMT show.
I did not play an Elvis.
He played Elvis.
I played Elvis.
Legit Elvis? Yes.
He played legit Ghost of Elvis.
Ghost of Elvis. Shit.
You should see it.
John.
It's really...
I know.
The scene is really funny.
Like literally 10 people have texted me, told me how funny it was.
although I was confused.
Right.
In, so this is a scripted TV show on CMT that John had a scene in. I was confused, however... They censored one of your words.
Yep.
I actually couldn't even tell what it was.
It was the S word.
Okay. So I thought it was the S word.
Right.
However, multiple other times in the episode,
right,
I feel like they said the S word, well, or they said shit, and it would cut off like right before the
T.
Well, here's what happened.
It was confusing.
My scene was with Hootie.
Yeah, your scene
Darius
was with
Hootie. Darius Rucker.
Whew. And he is not an actor. So well, they brought in someone who could just make up his own lines, which was me. So I think they were paying special attention to whatever, not unlike yourself, they were paying special attention to whatever weird crap I was going to say.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And that's what happened.
So
I was glad all my ad-libs got in. All those lines, I made those up.
It was really funny. Man.
That's awesome.
It was fun.
It was you, Billy Ray Cyrus, and Darius Rucker in a car.
Name dropping.
And I guess oh,
there
you're
will
the,
be
you,
more.
I guess that makes me the blowfish.
You were the
in so many ways. We're gonna name drop so many times this episode. We got so much more for you.
Yeah, guys. We haven't even talked about Chris Bosch and McBob being at Bonnaroo.
Oh, we got stories.
That might be.
Let's talk about Keith's breakfast. Though.
Oh, my breakfast was a very simple and healthy. I had a croissant and strawberries.
Ooh,
croissant.
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 Man, that's so...
And honestly, again, it's raiding my son's food. Like, he loves...
He loves strawberries.
Did you say it was healthy?
Well, I mean, it's not really healthy.
Croissant is just butter.
Yeah.
It's fat butter.
That's why it's so good.
Mm-hmm. It just seemed healthier than my normal sugar-caked scone.
You went savory.
I did go slightly savory, although, I mean, strawberries. Yeah. But, yeah, no, my son goes crazy... He most of his breakfasts now is he'll eat a croissant and then he wants a piece of wheat bread after.
Well,
kind of grosses me out.
It's a lot of gluten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He needs it. He's he's becoming a skinny little tyke. Mm-hmm. Anyway, after our breakfasts, we move on to our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our chance to make right for what we might have gotten wrong in any previous episode. It also very frequently is the first time we mention the NBA. Mm-hmm. Although we've kind of got that
we
the open.
We tiptoed on it.
Yep. So does anyone have anything they need to apologize for?
I'm sorry for the Cleveland Cavs organization for betting on Kevin Love. They basically...
You mean LeBron? No, I mean you're not the Cavs organization. For LeBron.
I'm sorry.
LeBron betted on Kevin Love.
LeBron's the
that
GM,
that was confusing
right?
what yes, I said.
But yeah, everyone in the Cavs, they... effectively hitched their wagon to a guy that, while is an all-time, I would say an all-time great offensive player for his position.
A couple of years.
For the past few years. I mean, I think he might go down. The dude can score.
I mean, he had 26 a game his last season in Minnesota.
He has what it takes to score the ball. However, his ineptitude on defense has kept him, you know, completely and totally out of the conversation for what kind of player he should be for that position, for that salary.
I did feel in this last game his effort was really, really there, and Steph just kept making him right in his face anyways.
Well, on defense. No, yeah. You're right. He's trying. But
and I do think the Cavs use Love in the worst possible way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Though I mean, that has to do with the coach.
They've spent two seasons of him just spotting up.
Right.
And then in this particular finals, it seems like they were decided, hey, let's try to post you up in like games three and four, and two, three, four, and it was, and he was rusty.
Yeah. Yeah, he hasn't done it in a
long
time.
Like me on the basketball court.
But that is where he thrived in Minnesota, was he liked to get on the block.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, he could go out and burn you from three, but he had so much flexibility. And I don't understand why the Cavs are rolling that lineup they are. They should have Love out in the perimeter, but they should also have Channing Frye out in the perimeter.
They still didn't do the thing that I thought they might be forced to do with Tristan Thompson, Frye, not Love, and LeBron. Like, they still haven't done the Thompson, Frye, LeBron front court, which I thought they were going to be forced to do. But again, they took care of business in game three big time and then won without the Draymond in game five. But I guess I'm getting ahead of myself. Do you have a... John, you have an apology?
Well, I've been awfully hard on Kyrie Irving as of late. And he went and put the best playoff performance since Wilt Chamberlain on us. So
yeah,
40 points, 70% from the floor.
80% effective field goal.
80%. I don't... The stuff he's done, three straight games of scoring over 30, where this is a guy who I've spent most of my life, you know, since I've known about him.
Railing against.
Not railing against, but being like, a healthy Mike Conley is better than Kyrie Irving, but no one seems to get it. Like, you know, and
right.
Like, because this guy is all offense and he's just, you never know when you're going to get it. But
Mike Conley would never do that.
Ever. I mean, Irving has always had the way higher ceiling offensively, and he has one of the highest offensive ceilings of any player in the NBA.
His confidence right now is so on point that he's just breaking people with his hand.
But also, this three-game stretch in the finals, that will never go away. Pretty much no matter what he does in any regular season game or any rest of his career, his reputation, his legacy has been built. Like, that guy went off three straight times in the finals. Like, that's...
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's amazing.
And that I don't think carries as much weight. I mean, he is an established player now. Like, as far as the way Russ Westbrook took that leap after the finals where they lost to the Heat, where he had those monster games and he just couldn't be stopped.
People are going to remember this run by Kyrie.
Right. I mean, I feel like even before...
Even if they lose, pretty memorable.
I feel like even before this finals started, if you ranked all the... NBA players, like one of those old, like the trade value columns that Bill Simmons used to do that other people are still doing. I feel like Kyrie has jumped like 10 spots.
Right.
You know, just on these last three games. Yeah. It was like, oh, he's a great offensive scorer. He's popular, but he's maybe the 35th best asset.
He's not going to get his own, like the Kyrie game. He's going to get, this is the Kyrie LeBron game.
Right.
Because Kyrie and LeBron scored or assisted on 97 points
of 112.
Well, they.
And the. Warriors had 97 points.
Right. Yeah, I mean, what did they have? They had something. They had 82 of 110 or 112. I remember the final score.
It was 112. No, they had 97 assisted or scored.
No, but I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, just scoring.
Just 82.
Just points.
41
they had,
points.
They had 82 points, and they had 15 of the 17 team assists. Right. No, 13 of the 15 team assists.
Never been done before. And that's, I don't know if that counts that assist that you tweeted out, Keith.
Did they rectify? They rectified by the third quarter.
But two players on one team in the finals in the history have scored 40.
No.
That really surprised me.
Yeah. And it's only happened once when two players on either team have scored 40, and that's back when AI and Shaq did it. And that's insane to me that sort of efficiency happened. They went off. They were unstoppable. But that, I think, had a lot to do with... Green being out.
Donkey being out was huge.
He's humongous on their defensive rotations.
And that brings me to my apology. I had posited before this series that the Warriors should have lobbied the NBA to upgrade his DDT on Steven Adams in Game 7 of the Oklahoma City series. So he'd go ahead and get his suspension out of the way and those points would reset. But I'm apologizing because I was wrong. The flagrant foul points don't reset. I thought they did. The flagrant foul points maintain.
He would just keep getting suspended.
So every time he has a flagrant foul from here on out, I mean, if he gets a flagrant foul two, he misses two games. So if he does that in game six, he's out the first game next year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the technical foul points, they kind of reset where once you get suspended, then you can do two more before you get suspended again.
Right.
But I was wrong on that flagrant foul thing. I thought he had a way out. Didn't have a way out.
No, he's
he really needs to stop... Hitting people in the balls.
That's the easiest thing to do.
He's a nut-slapping punk.
It's kind of...
How many times have you hit someone in the balls in your life?
Well...
I was in the military. Too many.
Okay.
I would say when I was in high school...
While playing sports.
When I was in high school one year, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
It was like a thing people did.
Yeah.
So, but I'm with you. Playing sports...
Oh, not then.
Playing sports on accident, I would say...
Or on purpose.
I would say a hand, like, four times.
I think he's done it more in this playoffs than I have ever done.
I have never done it on purpose. I've never hit anyone playing sports.
I've been in a couple, you know, dog piles in football.
Oh, so I've never played football.
They will jerk.
In those piles, they'll get after your...
Fish hook you.
Your naughty bits.
And they'll poke your eyes, yeah. So I've had people grab...
Dan Marino and the Marx Brothers down there. It's not good.
Which one's Mark?
What?
Which ones?
Duper and Clayton.
Yeah, I thought you said the
Duper and those.
I was thinking of the Marx.
I thought it was literally the Marx Brothers.
Nah, keep it. Groucho Harpo. Keep it at football.
Duper and Clayton. That's awesome. But I don't think I've ever, never purposely while playing sports. And I would say maybe four times.
I feel like I have because
lifetime.
I get angry sometimes. But he does it every game.
When I get angry, I get buckets.
Ooh.
Just kidding. I'm not very good.
You getting mad. I'm scoring points.
All right. Yeah. So I do apologize for not knowing that Draymond Green rule. So those were our breakfast in bed apologies. Before we get to our steak and eggs best thing, I want to tell you guys about Fan Essentials. They are a subscription service for NBA fans to get NBA gear for any team that you want. You sign up, you get either a rookie or a veteran box. The rookie boxes start at $14.99. Use the code FBBF, as in Fast Break Breakfast, and you get 30% off that order, and we get a little dough sent our way. So get all the essentials you need at fanessentials.net. Okay. Best thing, steak and eggs, best thing. What's the best thing you saw in the last week? We had three NBA games, and also there's some off-the-court stuff. So what's your steak and eggs?
I was at the Witch stage at Bonnaroo.
Okay.
I was watching LCD Sound System. Not a huge fan.
Angrily. Chuck was watching it angrily.
We were there, John and I, standing next to each other, when a friend of ours taps us on the shoulder and says, "Look, Bosh, McBob." And they were in spitting distance of John and I.
Could have touched them, probably.
In that situation, John got a little excited, and we had this conversation next to this guy who was also watching the LCD sound system.
Oh, I didn't know you were going to bring this up.
This is the best of the week. this kid is probably 22 years old and on a fistful of whatever drug that makes your head spin, because his eyes were rotating in circles in his head.
I really start rotating in a second.
Yeah. So John's talking to me. He says, he taps John on the shoulder and goes, "Hey, could you stop talking? We're listening to the show." Now, we are 100 feet from the speakers. John is screaming into my ear for me to barely hear him say,
"Bosh, McBob,
take a picture. Are you going to take a picture?
Or am I going to take a picture?"
So then a couple more times, this kid kind of huffs behind us and then finally taps me and John on the shoulder and goes, "Can you stop?" And we in unison say, "Shut the fuck up." And the kid loses his mind. It's like he's never been told before that his thoughts aren't right. And it shocked him.
I made him leave.
We told him to leave, to beat Street out of the area. And he did. And that was
we're extremely laid back people, but don't mess with us when we're trying to identify NBA players at a festival.
Right. So then I'm also messed up and I'm trying to take a picture of Bosh. And I don't know why.
Chuck couldn't do it.
Every time I picked my phone up, he would look at me, and I didn't get it. And then I looked at my phone, and had my flash on.
Your flashlight was on.
So I was like, literally turning to my right, away from the stage to take this photo, and he keeps seeing me. I have one photo of Chris Bosh looking directly into my soul, angrily.
It wasn't fair, because Chuck's so good with his phone and taking snaps and stuff, and I'm such an incompetent doofus.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I had to sneak over and take what, for me, was probably my greatest picture ever taken. But to the average human, it's just like, I think that's Chris Bosh.
Yeah, yeah.
John, or it could be Sasquatch.
John can take an iPhone S and make all the pictures look like flip phones.
Yes.
Like pictures. Like we had some events where, like, John took some photos, and then it was like, these are all on, like, you can't post these anywhere.
Is there bacon grease on your lens?
Yeah.
Maybe so.
The idea of you trying to surreptitiously spy photo Chris Bosh, but not knowing your flashlight was on,
super lurking.
Really, really funny.
And then he saw me, because I stand out. I walk around Bonnaroo with a big ass fake gold chain, and I look like a monster.
You look like every other person at Bonnaroo.
I know, that's true. But I then saw him at Post Malone later, and he left quickly after seeing me.
That was one of my biggest takeaways from Bonnaroo was, boys and girls, the Hawaiian shirt is back.
Oh, yeah.
It is back, and it's bigger than ever.
So, not related to the Hawaiian shirt, this could have been my cream of wheat. It's not my actual one.
Right.
But I don't know why you guys were trying to spy photo Chris Bosh when you're at a music festival and he's there. And you are a huge NBA fan. Chuck, you are a Miami Heat fan.
Oh, he's my favorite.
You guys have a very important NBA podcast.
I know.
Jake walk up upset to Chris Bosh and say, like, "Hey, man, I'm from Miami." Okay.
This isn't Hadid Haddadi outside of Zanies or wherever.
Yeah, dude.
Hamed.
This is
a Hall of Fame, all time.
One of the great players. Also, it's at Bonnaroo. You cannot hear what anyone is saying at any time. You go up and start screaming in Chris Bosh's face, he's probably just going to have one of his handlers judo chop you in the throat.
Yeah. It's and here's my thing.
The only thing we could have done is if we had walked up with a blunt.
I don't.
Peace offering.
I don't get any sort of anxiety when I approach women. I probably talk to half the women at Bonnaroo just because that's easy for me. A guy like that, who is my favorite power forward of all time and has joined me with the greatest rebound in game 6.
Chuck froze.
I almost pooped. So that to me, I love basketball, and those guys are gods to me. And I don't know, I don't even want to ruin it by saying hi.
I don't want to pretend that I don't get nervous around NBA players. Like there's been opportunities in my life where I wish I went up and said something to players.
Right.
But I've also done the thing where you know, you see someone in public where I do be like, you know, I like to point and wave or be like, hey, I saw Penny Hardaway at an airport once. Mm-hmm. I was like, hey, Penny. Like, it was just excited, you know. Yeah. And I've definitely taken a photo with other NBA guys. But this isn't also seeing, I mean, I might have pictured the whole thing wrong. In my mind, if I saw, like if Tony Allen was, if I was at the grocery store, I might be too nervous to go up to him. Right. Or if I was, even if like he was eating dinner, I would be too nervous to bother him. I feel like if I'm in a crowd of people at like a concert and I see Tony Allen, I would go up and be like, T.A., you are the man.
The next
love
time you
T.A.
look at that picture, look how you'll see Chris Bosh and you'll see Josh McBob. They're 7 feet tall. You're going to see 2 6-foot-5 guys next to them. Those are his bodyguards. And anyone who got too close to them got a stern talking to.
Yeah, they build that out. Because, you know, I mean, he's in a place.
Everyone's looking at them. They're 7 feet tall.
If you say, go Heat, you're telling me he's not going to nod and smile? Come on.
Yeah,
you would have to get like 3 centimeters from his ear.
Saying. You have to get within that. It's not as easy.
If we had seen him like outside of the music thing, I probably would have tackled him and tried to.
I feel similar to the time that I think last year you were around Hannibal Buress and he was talking about the NBA and you were sitting beside him and were too scared to open your mouth one time.
Yeah. Yeah,
it happened again.
And I felt like we gave you a pretty big tongue lashing about that. We were very disappointed.
Yeah,
you need to step up.
What Keith is really saying is we should have interviewed Chris Bosh and Josh McRoberts at Bonnaroo for the podcast.
I don't
understand that.
I don't maintain any possibility of that happening. Because I know, like, especially when, like, in Vegas Summer League, if you see, like, a legit NBA player, it's hard to approach him. If you see a nobody,
get him.
I high five, I don't remember his first name, Kuzmich.
That should be that should be our new thing.
He was a center for the Warriors.
As we get him to record a little thing like you're listening to Fast Break Breakfast.
Well, also if you can do it to the people you have a vague connection to, I went up to former Vandy players and be like, hey man, like I'm from Nashville. Like I saw a lot of your games and all this stuff, and you know, they talk to you and whatever. But I don't know. I know Chris Bosh again, superstar Hall of Famer. It's tough.
Quick Vandy aside. Yeah. Festus Ezeli, terrible and a goon. A lot of goonage going on, guys.
Yeah, they do. The Warriors kind of have this like floaty little kind of playful boyish feel, but they kind of embody some of those old, you know, bad boy Pistons kind of tactics of getting into people's heads.
It's like all the like Lambeer sissy stuff without any of the Rick Mahorn tough guy stuff.
Right, and Dennis Rodman crazy guy stuff.
Nah. Yep. You know? All the sissy stuff, the nut flailing and then the...
Well, so that brings me to my steak and eggs is a negative of the finals recently has been all the talking about the suspensions, the Draymond stuff. That's been a big pain to me. I haven't enjoyed it. However, my best thing was a couple of responses to the incident. One, Charles Barkley saying, if a man steps over you, you have a moral imperative to punch him in the balls.
Oh, Charles.
And then Mo Spates said, somebody put balls on your head, what you supposed to do?
Mo Spates walks around with a testicle on his head already. He has a significant growth that terrifies me.
I also think he has a negative PER.
He is
in the finals.
Horrific.
Some of that is
they'd miss David Lee.
Well, yeah. Some of that I feel is Kerr's insane center rotation.
Oh yeah,
with like 5 guys playing center.
Well, once Bogut went down, it really got.
I mean, that's
sloppy.
Bogut was another. You pulled 2 of their better defenders off the floor.
Yeah, true. I'd say they're two
they're,
best.
They're two best. I mean, Iguodala can has spurts now, but they're basically, you know, toothless on defense.
Well, they're toothless at the rim.
And right. That's basically where Kyrie and LeBron were doing most of their damage.
Festus has been literally useless at the rim.
Yeah.
It still seems like he should be playing more out of, especially as Bogut's down. Like Kerr, you just need to play him.
Well, that brings me to my best of the week.
Yes, John.
And that is that I had forgotten how much hatred I had in my heart for Andy Varejao. And I got to release it out into the world again.
You and Jeff Van Gundy.
Whew. Oh, yeah, Jeff Van Gundy was calling for the Oscars.
Van Gundy was furious. He's like, I wouldn't give that guy any calls.
He's the floppiest flopper who ever lived.
Yeah.
His hair is designed to make everything look more dramatic.
It accentuates.
It's smart.
Yeah.
You know, it's smart.
That's brand.
And I think he's their best center remaining. I don't know if he can play that many minutes. But
no.
I mean, when he's out there, good things happen for the Warriors, mostly because he is,
drawing fouls.
Miming injury.
Yeah.
But he can get it, you know, he can get to the hole, which, you know, you can't say that about Festus and his hands of stone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Festus is, again, before this series, there's people.
You can't play Festus. He'll foul out instantly.
There were people talking again. Well, before the playoffs, people were talking about Festus Ezeli being better than Bismack Biyombo. Mm-hmm. And even before this series, it was all the, he's going to get a 3-year, $50 million offer. He's still going to get a good amount of money, but
God help that team.
He has really, really not done himself any favors.
That seems like a Knicks or along with acquisition.
I mean, poor old Harry Barnes, who in games 3 and 4 had his like, oh yeah, he's earned himself that max contract. And then games 5, whoopsie.
No.
Whoopsie daisy. All right, what's the opposite of your steak and eggs? What is your cream of wheat? Worst of week?
My worst is that the Cavs are better without Kevin Love. Whenever he kind of doesn't play well, they kind of play okay. And that's where we started at the beginning.
He still has a pretty staggeringly positive playoffs plus minus.
Right.
He looked like garbage last night offensively. 1-for-5, 0-for-3 from downtown.
I thought he acquitted himself better in the other aspects of the game, though. And then
he had 3 rebounds total.
And again, he played 33 minutes. Yeah. Well, again, he stands on the perimeter.
Yeah. Right. But I mean,
he played 33 minutes.
Pick up a defensive
2 points.
Rebound.
However, again, as John alluded to, a great plus minus. Not that stat means means everything.
Well,
but
I thought, like, last night at least, he played. He had some moments where he got burned, and people were like, why is Kevin Love going for the slapping at the ball and stuff like that? The reason Kevin Love was slapping at the ball and stuff like that is because clearly the Cavs' game plan was to force turnovers. So everyone was doing that, and it was kind of mayhemish, but it was working because if the Warriors have an Achilles heel, it's turnovers. You can force them into turnovers.
Yeah,
and that's what they went for.
And the game was mayhem.
Trapping. Yeah.
One of the fun things about Draymond being out is the game turned into what felt like a mid-January game in the fact that it was all up and down the court. And I know teams were giving full effort on defense, but they were getting torched. A lot of it was the great shooting of LeBron and Kyrie. But again, it was 61-61 at half, and just it was a fun up and down game.
As a person who had Cavs to win or Cavs to be ahead at halftime, Tyronn Lue not even bothering to draw up a play at the end of that half broke my spirit.
Push.
That must have been an exciting gambling moment because it was.
I doubled down. Cavs to win second half, baby.
Oof.
Big nuts, lug nuts.
Luggy.
Nailed that one.
Mox Brothers. Duper. Clayton.
Harpo. Groucho.
Zeppo.
Groucho.
I have 4 touchdowns.
This is like what they're for.
Touchdown dance. Getting away from the finals, my worst thing is not just the Rio Zika virus outbreak. Mm-hmm. Now there's super bacteria in the pools and on the beaches where the Olympic events are taking place.
You got to freeze your sperm.
Unkillable super bacteria.
Got to freeze your sperm.
Man.
And you're now having millions of people fly to Rio from all across the globe, pick up these super bacterias.
Jesus.
And just fly back to their homes.
Yeah, come here. We love you guys.
I feel like that's part of, not part of the Planet of the Apes movie.
Yes.
Isn't that part of that Planet of the Apes?
This is how it all starts.
That closing title
this
sequence.
This ends with an ape named Caesar wearing like a Roman conqueror's helmet. This is not good. This is not great.
Dr. Zeus.
This is not good.
Not good. So that's my worst thing.
I'll stay similarly out of the actual on-court business. and comment on Steph Curry's new shoe, because I feel like we're obligated to, as podcasters, NBA yep. podcasters, to comment on footwear from time to time. However, the only comparison I can really make is that it looks really shockingly, and I should have brought this shoe in, looks very similar to the $25 New Balances I bought to destroy at Bonnaroo. So I feel kind of close to Steph Curry.
I did like the Steph Curry shoe meme that took off.
Was it? I kind of missed the meme. I heard about it this morning.
It was just everyone making jokes about how they're the most boring shoe ever.
It like, does look like the shoes an old person would put on to play shuffleboard.
The Ned Flanders 4.
Jerry Seinfeld.
The Jerry Seinfelds. Pete Carroll got in on it. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I love these shoes.
Yeah.
So I mean, again, we're not. I'm not a fashion maven.
Chuck cares about. I thought they were fine. Sneakers.
Those are disgusting. what are those? I'm looking at them right now. They look like a pair. You know when you see old people walking in the mall?
Yeah. They're mall walkers.
Yeah, mall walker shoes. But
they look like the shoes Calvin and Hobbes wears in Calvin and Hobbes.
Again, I don't know much shoe history, but I did see someone tweeting out lots of, they're very similar to, I think there's a pair of old Jordans.
Grant Hill Felas.
They were all white. Oh, those Felas took Grant Hill's career.
Yeah.
They kind of look like tennis shoes.
Felas not still around, are they? I think they might have gone down in flames.
What was the Reggie Miller shoe? It was like Pro Fit, Wood Fit.
Oh, I don't know. I forget like that. Yeah.
I mean, they're pretty rough shoes. And it's kind of, is this Under Armour? Who is this?
This is Under Armour.
It is Under Armour.
Everything they do looks terrible.
But again, you don't have to sell all your shoes to people who care badly about fashion. You have to sell them to the masses. You have to sell them to every child and to people with money.
But that's not how it works. The kids who want nice shoes want nice shoes that their friends have, that their older brother told them are cool. And that's all like the way it works. If those things are getting made fun of.
We're in our 30s.
Do you think this will hit a spectrum where they're so bad they're good and everybody wants them?
No. That doesn't happen. That's not going to happen with that. The brand Under Armour, I don't think is as strong as people think.
I think every 11-year-old who idolizes Steph Curry
will buy them.
It's just going to be like, I want these shoes. Those are the shoes I want.
Yeah. What are they called? Chef Curry's?
Chef Curry Shoe Series.
What is the chef thing? Is that one of these cooking things up things?
His name's Steph.
His curry's a food word, chef. A spice.
Chef right. Steph.
So chef and curry.
Well, and
they should have just called it spice. All Dune, Frank Herbert Dune references.
Drake. Yeah. Gave him that name, Chef Curry.
Oh, so that's why it's so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
God damn it.
I don't know if you know this. It also sounds like his name, Steph.
Right.
It's kind of it's a true rhyme, I think.
Not a true rhyme.
It's a half because I'm not.
Yeah.
You need.
It'll work, though.
It'll definitely work.
You could get away with it.
Yeah. All right, we're going to do something new, actually, right now. We have the first female voice to ever be heard on our podcast. The patron saint of Fast Break Breakfast. Chuck, you have a funny look on your face.
Have we ever had any other voice on the podcast?
We've never had...
Gabriel.
Chase
Buddy Buttinger. Just
Chase Buddy Buttinger, I think. This might be the first non...
Non-us?
This might be the first guest.
Yeah.
This might be a recurring thing. We don't know. But my wife, Abby...
We'll judge her in secret after we're done.
Has a new segment. It's called Crepes of Wrath. You're gonna tell us some things that you don't like about the NBA, right? So, Abby, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Awesome. So, what is your Crepes of Wrath?
So, I think Crepes of Wrath is my opportunity to express my NBA-related frustrations.
Well, I think...
This could get dark.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah. So I think we should tell you, you are not a huge... You married into the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Like, you're not a huge NBA fan or an NBA fan at all.
That's true.
In our Halcyon days, you feigned interest for a while.
I tried really hard.
So you do have some players you like, and so you know a good bit about the league, but you've kind of stopped pretending, and especially since we've reproduced, there's no...
Are you about to rail on Jason Kidd for 22 minutes?
I do despise him passionately.
Yeah, add that to the future list of... But all right, so what is your Crepes of Wrath, Abby?
Okay, so the thing that angers me the very most about the NBA is high fives after missed free throws. I believe that the high five should be a gesture that is celebratory or affirming, and I do not believe that it has a place for encouragement in a professional sport played by adults.
It's an E for effort. So you really don't like Tristan Thompson free throw attempts at all.
I don't know him, but it sounds like I don't like him.
So you know, and LeBron has really been struggling with his free throw stroke in the playoffs. So you don't, but you don't consider it to be affirming.
I love LeBron, but if my only opportunity to touch him in my life were a high five after a missed free throw, I would pass.
That's an amazing. That's a great statement. I don't. I feel like it's somewhat affirming after you miss a free throw to have your buddy be like, "It's okay, like you got this."
Are you good with a butt slap after a free throw? Like, come on, let's get in there. Like,
if it's LeBron, she might say yes.
Got to get it in there.
It's a wide open shot on a basket in a professional sport played by adults. I don't believe there's space for encouragement.
That's pretty good.
I'm with it.
Well, that's fair. Well, I think it's a pretty solid Crepes of Wrath, Abby.
Thank you.
Keep the chamber loaded.
Abby and I saw each other at a coffee shop the other day, and we had our own mini Crepes of Wrath where we just talked about how the season is entirely too long.
The season is so long.
It's so long. And I'm not just saying it from a person who has to like talk about it weekly. I'm talking about a guy who watches these players, and at the end of the year, people are dropping like flies because they've been playing long games all year, and they've got injuries and all sorts of stuff, and it makes the playoffs a little less enjoyable. So I think
you guys have kids and lives. The season ends for me. It's just emptiness. I don't want the season to end at all.
I need the regeneration of the off season. I need the excitement of something new coming around, the draft.
You
free
need
agency,
the tournament.
And I need the
Do you know
tournament.
Of this little obsession he has of the tournament?
We don't even
Abby?
Have to. That's like August. That's the literal darkest days. I still have the peak of the season, which is free agency and summer league.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yep. All right. Thanks. That was a very good first Crepes of Wrath.
Dinklage, Peter Dinklage, Peter Dinklage, Peter Dinklage, Peter Dinklage, Peter Dinklage.
John, is that the...
Peter Dinklage, Peter
Dinklage. I'm going to let this roll.
Dinklage. Time for Game of Scones.
Game of Scones.
Station agent, station agent.
This one's a little weird, guys.
Oh, you... All right.
There's only one correct answer. But I think it's kind of a tough one. So what you're going to do is you can either take a guess or ask for a clue. However, when you ask for a clue, your opponent will have the first guess after said clue.
Okay. So and
so you're going to have to use a little game theory here.
And okay. And so we get three guesses or what happens? Do you get one guess at the name?
You can guess as many times as you want, but once you strike out, I think I'm going to give you three strikes and then you're out.
Okay.
Once you strike out,
traditional,
you're out of the game.
Okay.
So, as you know, much ballyhooed Draymond Green suspension in the finals.
Right.
Who was the last player to have been suspended and miss a finals game? I'm going to let Chuck go first. Chuck, you can either take a guess or you can ask for a clue. However, after said clue, Keith will have the first shot.
Clue.
Okay. This player is known for playing with an edge and having much toughness. You can take a guess, Keith, or you can ask for another clue.
See, the sad part is I feel like I heard this already. But I do not remember.
Uh-oh.
I guess I will take another clue.
This player is currently an assistant coach in the NBA now. Chuck, you may take a guess or ask for another clue. You guys have used up none of your guesses, so.
I know.
I will take an assistant coach in the NBA right now. Rick Mahorn?
That would be a guess, and that would be incorrect.
That's a good guess, though.
Not bad. Keith, I guess or clue?
I will take a clue.
All right. This player is a two-time All-Star and made an NBA All-Rookie first team and once scored 29.8 points per game in a season.
I know the answer now, but I have to wait for Chuck.
No, you can. You
no,
can,
no. I thought. Well, oh, it was yeah, my. That's right, it was that's my right, clue. Yeah. So Chuck has a chance to get it right. But
two-time
All
Star.
I know the answer now.
Gilbert Arenas? No, he didn't play in the fire. 29 points.
The answer is, and a perfect segue, Jerry Stackhouse.
Oh. That's right.
Jerry Stackhouse. Yeah. The 29.8 points is a great hint because I actually knew that he averaged 29.8 points.
I may have gone a little too heavy there, but I didn't want this to take forever.
But I feel like, that was...
The final clue was going to be, we have named the very next segment after him.
That's right. Yes. So most importantly, a great segue, and Chuck's losing streak continues.
Mm-hmm. The never-ending story.
And that does bring us to the awards segment of the evening. We thought we might hang this up for the year.
Nah.
We thought we might take it like Klay Thompson's goatee after a game, mm-hmm. go hang it up in the closet.
Indeed.
But one man has forced our hand.
Is it going to be Steph Curry for going 2 for 9 for unguarded three-pointers last game?
It is not.
Oh, okay.
It is going to be his buddy.
Harry Barnes.
We have one nominee this week. It is Harrison Barnes.
Oh.
Who I believe was 1 for 6 on wide open threes, was also 1 for 6 on layups.
Oh. 2 for 14.
I mean, a little loosely defined layup, but
right.
You know. Anyway, he was 2 for 14 in a game where he was really open.
Yeah.
For much of it.
Cavs let him shoot it.
They did let it fly. Again, I feel bad. Do we think Harrison Barnes, when he gets on another squad, assuming the Warriors don't choose to keep him for something less than the max, it's possible that they offer him like $20 million a year and he accepts it and he doesn't even sign an offer sheet with anyone else.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But do we think, say someone does sign him to a max offer sheet, do you think that he will be passable, workable, good, complete disaster? Like
I feel like he'll be like one of those like high volume, decent numbers guys.
Yeah.
Like I don't see him being like I could see someone who doesn't watch a lot of basketball looking at his stats next year on some schmo team and going, oh, he must be pretty good. But then if you take a deeper look, you're like, oh, he's actually hurting them pretty horribly every game.
A Rudy Gay like.
I would say sub Rudy Gay, but I see what you mean.
I don't know. And part of me wonders if he could just be, if his best role is being kind of a glue guy. I know Warriors fans, he's become, if they had to choose one punching bag on their team, that they'd probably choose him. Like Warriors fans have gotten a little less enamored with him. But I feel like it seems like on the right squad, again, he could similarly do the role, have like a 12 point per game thing, you know, like average like 12 and 7 and
I could see him being like an 18, 20 points per game guy on a bad team.
Yeah, that too.
I really could.
Yeah, I could. He does fit the mold of a future Grizzly.
Well, like, so the Grizzlies, it's like they have one of the most gaping, mawing holes at small forward
right.
on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
And also on Future Hope, another gaping, mawing
a metric
hole.
They are lagging.
Jesus.
In.
I was looking at a thing that some guys are going to debut soon, an NBA asset rank where it just ranks the assets of every NBA team.
Did Grizzlies finish almost last?
Well, I mean, just looking at the Grizzlies' future assets, you're like, oh my.
Ugh.
Like their roster is totally, they can't trade for anybody.
Jermichael Green.
They have literally nothing to trade. I mean, like Brandon Wright, you know.
Ugh.
But anyway, so yeah, I am curious about Harry Barnes, how he will do if he changes squads.
What poison pill are we going to take off the Mavs this year in the offseason?
You know, I don't even know. Oh, yeah.
He's coming.
Like, what secretly hurt? They decide that Wesley Matthews had a setback and they're going to trade him.
Are we going to replace Mike Conley with Devin Harris?
And then Devin Harris ends up not being able to walk or run. All right. Anyway, so Harrison Barnes, you did win perhaps the final international Stackhouse of Pancakes award for the season. All right. Par fadeaway. What are we looking forward to in the coming week?
Well, I'm looking to forward to Kyrie Irving having one bad game and us forgetting about how good he's been playing, because that's all it really takes in the NBA. If he chokes and he has one poo-poo performance
you
when they go
that,
back to Oracle.
But we're going to remember that game.
No,
the 40-40.
I remember Russell Westbrook. Oh.
Will you take that out of your mouth?
I remember Russell Westbrook going off the Heat. No one talks about that series where he just...
You talked about it earlier.
I know.
But you're a Heat fan.
I'm a Heat fan.
I didn't even know what you're talking about.
Russ Westbrook went on, but he had 38 points one game against the Heat and almost beat them by himself. And those kind of performances.
Kyrie Irving has scored 30 straight points in 3 straight games and just had 41 points while shooting 70% from the floor.
Yeah.
I think we're going to remember this one for a while. Plus,
We might not.
He might score 30 again on Thursday.
Because we're less than, you know, we're barely 12 hours since LeBron did that. We haven't even mentioned LeBron.
And you only remember that stuff if they win. That stuff will be ignored. Rajon Rondo put on incredible performances
Game six on Thursday night is now, I mean, we didn't mention it. We did mention it, but we didn't mention it from the conspiracy aspect.
The Tim Donaghy.
The
turkey bacon.
It is not a great look for the NBA that LeBron was at 3-1 facing the elimination, and then the NBA did suspend Draymond Green, which is pretty much what people thought was the only chance for the Warriors to lose at home. I'm not saying it's a conspiracy.
I think the officiating last night would point the other way, because I thought the Warriors got some absurd calls home, and I think that was an Oracle effect, but...
So, but I don't know. It was highly convenient that now that we have a legit series and now we have the exciting.
And hey, I'm looking forward to game seven.
Exactly. Well, Thursday night's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Not only do we have the game six, we got some
Draymond,
Copa Americana.
Draymond coming back is going to be huge. Yeah, get to a sports bar, people. That's where you got to
do. Yeah, we got to. You got to have two TVs on Thursday night for USA's men's team going to have a soul-crushing upset loss to Ecuador.
Hey, El Tri almost went down last night, too. That was a fun soccer match.
This is some fun soccer. See, this is me at the end of the NBA season. I start watching other weird things. Mm. But also...
I just watch it all because I bet on all of it.
Yep. Something to look forward to. We're going to rabble the NBA draft on June 23rd. So you guys can join us for that. Open your Twitter apps and open your Rabble app and follow along with us there.
You won't have to listen to Jay Billis say wingspan 42
wingspan.
Times.
Wingspan. Mm-hmm. We'll come up with some other catchphrases for your drinking bingo games.
Length.
Yeah, that's great. All right, so thanks you guys for listening. Check us out on Twitter at Fast Break Break. Like us on Facebook. Write us an iTunes review. Give us a 5-star review. It helps us out in the search engines. We really appreciate you guys doing that. Check out fanessentials.net. All right, thanks for listening. You guys are the best. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.